Let me jump in here and talk to you about this list that we've been looking at each week with the different psalms. And we've looked at, you know, Psalm of Trust, Praise, History, Praise, and Thanksgiving, the King. And today we're looking at a psalm of nature. I think that this is one of those times where it's a little more difficult for us because of the time in which we live. You know, I don't think that we appreciate nature near as much as we should. You know, I've traveled some other places in the world where being a shepherd is still a vocation that you have. You know, in the Old Testament, shepherd took a very prominent, you know, Abraham, he was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. King David, we're going to look at Psalm 104 here. He was a shepherd. You know, Jesus used the shepherd as a teaching lesson for people in his day. The shepherds were on the hillside watching their sheep when the announcement of Jesus' birth was made. He talks about God being our shepherd. Do we have any shepherds here this morning? See, it's not a vocation we have anymore. I don't think we really understand what it meant to be a shepherd. Now, the shepherds that I saw when I was traveling different places in Africa, very different than what we think. Most of the time, the job of a shepherd is pretty boring. I mean, unless your flock's being attacked by some other animal, or your sheep or your flock is unruly, the life of a shepherd was pretty boring. You know, what did they do? They just wandered around, and I watched them do this. You know, they just wandered around with their sheep, and most of the time they were like daydreaming. And I think that kind of goes back here to David with Psalm 104 and what he's teaching us about nature, because Psalm 104 is a psalm that retells the story of creation. Now, if you read that, the psalm, all of it, you'll see that. He retells the story of creation. It's almost like David, the shepherd, was laying out on a field at night and looking up at the stars and looking at all of creation around him, and it made him think about God. Here's going to be my challenge for you today. I challenge you to go out into the forest or into a field at night and look at the stars. Get away from everything that man has made, and just marvel at the creation of God. I love to tell the little story about my sister Pat. She lives in North Carolina. Her and her husband Gene, they have a little farm there, and they have a little pond on this farm. It's about an acre. Gene, my brother-in-law, he stocks this pond for his kids and for his grandkids. So they come fishing. I love to go fishing there too, you know, we go down and visit. And so all these little kids have come to Pappy's pond fishing. Well, some years ago, Pat, my brother-in-law, and my sister Pat and her husband Gene took some of these grandkids to the ocean. And one little boy, his name was Trey, that's what they called him, Trey, and they said he walked up over the dunes and he looked at the ocean. He saw the ocean. You remember seeing the ocean for the very first time? He saw the ocean for the very first time. You know what he said? He said, "Wow, whose pond is this, Pappy?" You know, it would do us well if we would just be in awe of what God has done and what God has created. If you look at verse 5 of Psalm 104, it says, "You placed the world on its foundation so it would never be moved." You see, that's God. He's talking about what God is able to do. It's amazing to me how as time goes on, the more we learn about DNA, the more we learn about one single cell, the more people come to believe in a creator. You know, Arlene and I were on vacation one time, and we were down on some island, and we were walking along this beach, and the guy that was guiding us, he came to this place, and there was these stones all stacked up on each other. And he said, "You know, I want you to do one of these, and then I'll tell you what it's for." So I'm sitting there, and I'm stacking my stones, you know, and I'm getting them as high as I can. And then he said, actually what these are, he said, these are called fertility structures. And I kicked mine over, you know, right then. It's like, I don't want one of those. You know, I've already gone down that road. But what he said was, is that he said, notice all these little stones stacked on top of one another. And he said, where did they come from? And everybody said, well, somebody came along and they stacked them up. And he said, but yet people look at the universe and say there is no God. I mean, the complexity of what God has created, what God has made, should help us to focus on how awesome He is. Not on the random chance of where this stuff came from, but understanding how awesome our Maker should have been. That's why I think that Psalm 104 is David's retelling of the creation story. You know, wouldn't you have loved to have been there? When God created the heavens and the earth, when God said, let there be light, when God made the sun and the moon and the stars, when God made all the animals, all the plants, all the oceans, and then the crowning of His creation, He made men and women in His image and placed the man and woman in the garden, in this paradise, the creation of God. I think as David was able to do, is something that you and I should make sure that we do. And that as we go about our day, we just marvel in His creation. That's what He did as a shepherd. That's what you and I need to do as well. Sometimes I think that we make it more difficult to do that. So I can't read all these verses. It's a pretty long psalm, but let me just give you the divisions here. Look at verse number one. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then he talks about who covers with light as a garment. That's the first day of creation. You remember, God created light. Not the sun, moon, and stars. That comes later. This was God revealing himself as light. Verse 2, he says, he stretches out the heavens like a curtain. That's the second day of creation. God created the atmosphere with waters above and below and provided this canopy, causing the earth to be this greenhouse, a tropical paradise. Verse 4 mentions these angelic spirits. Job 38 verse 7 says that while God was creating, the angels were singing. God apparently does his best creative work with a little bit of background music. That's why our praise is so important. Verses 5 through 18, if you read that, it's talking about the third day of creation. God created the oceans, and they stay in their boundaries along with the dry land and all the vegetation. Verse 19 through 23, it's the fourth day of creation. God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. Verse 24 through 26, the fifth day of creation. God created the fish and the birds. Verse 27 through 30, the sixth day, God created man and animals. And the seventh day, verse 33 and 35, is God rested. And here's what I want to do. I want to share these lessons with you from David's telling of the creation story. And let's make some points of application for our life today. First thing, we have to understand the difference between making and creating. Okay? The difference between making and creating. Have you ever realized that anything that man or a woman makes is made from the raw materials that God already created? So in reality, we create nothing. I'm sorry. Steve Jobs, you created nothing. Henry Ford, you created nothing. Everything that we make from the raw materials that God created. Now think about this, folks, because I think this is a real distinction. What brings you more joy in life? Things made by man or the creative power of God? You see, we can admire the things of man. But we must understand that we make nothing that God has not already created. We discover things that God already had in mind. For example, I said to somebody recently, I said, you know, I don't know who the first person was that ever took a coffee bean and ground it up and made a drink out of it, but man, I'm glad they did. But you know what? God created that. Even though it took us a long time to understand maybe what it was created for. You know, a child said to me one time, said, Pastor, said, who was the first person that ever ate an egg? I said, I don't know, but I'm kind of glad they did. I can't imagine the first person. You imagine the first person would ever think, you know, breaking open an egg and, you know, say, I'm going to put this on a rock, I'm going to heat it up, and I'm going to cook it, and then I'm going to eat it. Ugh. You imagine, let me just think about an egg. But, I mean, we love them. You know, we put them in almost a lot of things that we make. I mean, we are so proud of the things that we make, the things that we discover. But listen, folks, as a Christian, as a believer, we should honor God as our creator more than be enamored by people that are able to make things. Because it was all God's idea. First, I think about the day, you know, of creation when God made all of the fish in the ocean and he made a shrimp and he said, you know, one day John Collins is going to love those little things. Right? See, David understood as he laid out on the hillside at night that there's a difference between making things and God who created everything out of nothing. David also understood this idea of dominion. You know, God created us, man, woman, what day? Day six, right? The day before he rested, God made man in his image and then made woman out of the man. Have you ever wondered why he didn't do that on day one? I mean, why didn't he make a man and woman in his image and allow them to watch all the other days of creation? Well, I think, folks, it's all in this idea of that we are the creative jewel of God, that we are the ones that have a soul inside of us, that we are the ones that are created in his image. And he put us in his creation and he said, have dominion over it. And everything else that he created was for our consumption, was for our pleasure, for us to discover and for us to make. But that he made us different because we are made in his image. The sixth day, he created man. He said, these wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. Verse 27. I love that old language, the way it talks about how all of these things were for us. But here's the thing, folks. I think that a Christian should be the most conscientious person when it comes to the environment. And when it comes to the things that God has created. And as David understood here, that we use all of these things of creation to honor him. You remember in the Old Testament when they would kill an animal and place it on the altar, recognizing that all of this came from God, that they would clear their fields and bring in their crops, and they would bring the first fruits of their crops, and they would offer it to God as a sacrifice. The Bible is full. Let me just read you a couple of instances here. There's all kinds of scriptures in the Bible where it talks about how they honored God. Psalm 19 says, the heavens are telling the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Isaiah 40 says, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. Romans 1 says, since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that all men are without excuse. Job demanded answers from God. What did God do? God took him back to creation. The writer of Psalms, David, especially stirs his soul to bless the Lord based on his observation of creation. This psalm begins and ends with the declaration that God is worthy to be praised. So here's the thing, folks. How often do we really honor God by noticing the things that he's made for us? Use all of creation to honor him. And then this idea of all things are new. You see, David understood that God's creative power was something that should be noticed and honored today. But do we as believers realize that it says in that last day when Jesus returns again that all things will be new? There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. 2 Corinthians says that if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. That we can have this idea of newness within our relationship with God simply because of redemption. Have you ever been around anything that's really been restored? You know, I remember when I was younger, I'd gone to this house, and really old house, and then someone bought it. And they totally redid it. They took all the paper off the walls. They took all the paint off of all the woodwork. And they redid everything like it was brand new. And it was incredible. And it was when that phrase made sense to me when somebody said, you know, they just don't build them like that anymore. I remember somebody, I knew someone who had gotten this car. They'd bought this car off this little lady, off this farm, and this car had sat in a weeds in a field for years. He bought this car and he totally restored it. It was awesome. And I think folks that our view of nature, our understanding of creation, needs to be renewed. I think because we've become more enamored by things that people make than we are by our Creator who made everything. Man, I don't know if this is like you, for you at your house, but you know, we have family over or something. You know, we have a big get together at the house, and the ladies are making their favorite recipes, and I usually have to go to the store 3 or 4 times. You know, why does that always fall to the men? I've been told it's because we can't cook. You know, we claim to drive, so we can drive to the store and get the bacon sold or get the, you know, whatever that's needed for these recipes. But have you ever thought about that if David is serving up here a recipe of understanding creation and knowing God, it's all there. He says that man is without excuse, that we should know of God simply by looking at God's creation. And sometimes I don't think we do that nearly enough. But that's my challenge to you, is to allow God to take you to that place. David here, the psalmist, he's specific in his examples of God's greatness as seen in his creation. Thank you so much. And those who advocate this view that God is not part of creation, that this world does not need a creator, David would say to that, listen, if you just go out in the field and you lie back on your back, that you will see God and you will see his creation. And if we as believers are careful to keep our focus on the Creator rather than on the creation. You know, the book of Romans is so clear about the danger of worshiping the creation over the Creator, because they exchange the truth of God for a lie. and they worshiped and served the creative thing rather than the Creator who is blessed forever, Romans says in Romans 1:25. So, let's just do as David did today. And let's marvel in the creation of our God. You know, many years ago, I happened upon this fellow who was teaching a bunch of kids about God. And he gave them all an arrowhead. You know what I mean? An arrowhead, a piece of flint that was in the shape of a point, and you could put it on an arrow and tie it on. And you know, that's the way our ancestors, that's the way they hunted, the Native Americans here. But he gave them an arrowhead, and he said, "Tell me where this arrowhead came from." And one by one, the youngsters would say, "Well, it was, you know, an Indian sat down and he took this piece of flint and he struck it with a rock and he made it into the shape of a point." And he said, "How many of you agree with that?" And they all, "Yeah, we agree with that." And he said, "That's not true." He said, "What happened was," he said, "was that this little piece of flint was in a river. And it rained and the river got up and the little piece of flint bounced from rock to rock as it went down this flooded river. And at the end of the river, when the flood waters receded, this flint was laying there in this shape." And all the youngsters, "Oh, no. And then I loved it because the guy said, he said to them, "How is it that I can't convince you that this one little stone got in this shape by an accident? But yet we all believe into this theory that everything that we see is by chance." And what David would say is that we have a great Creator. And we have to get out into nature. And we need to make sure that we see Him. Do you see Him? I mean, do you notice Him when you go about your business from day to day? Because you know what, folks? He glories in us when we realize how great He is. I think that's why David begins and ends this psalm with a call to bless the Lord. He ends the song with this final stirring of his soul to make sure that his soul recognizes how great and how glorious God is. And you know what? We can't do that when all we see are things that are made by man, by intelligent men and women. Let's get beyond all that and notice that all of the raw materials were already made by God. And the most beautiful things of this world are untouched by human hands. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank You for this wonderful, wonderful day that You've given us. God, You are so awesome in Your creation. Lord, I just think about last night as I walked across my yard and I looked up and I saw that beautiful moon. As we look, Lord, and we see the treetops as they sway. And as we look at the mountain, Lord, and told by the world that mountain got there by millions and millions and millions of years of rocky plates pushing together and rising up out of the earth. But yet, Lord, we know that You set that mountain there. And that You created the seas. And the most beautiful things that people marvel at today are the things that are untouched by human hands. But God came from the creative power of our God, our Lord and our Savior. So Father, may we be a people who trust Him as our shepherd, and then who do as a shepherd does, Lord, and as we just lay on the hillside and marvel at the beauty. I pray, Lord, that we'll contemplate the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the one that's always there for us. So Lord, may this week, may we get away from the things that are made by the hands of men and women. And may we see the things that came from the very heart of God. The mountains, the seas, the rivers, the sky, the sun, the moon. And may we know, Lord, that it was all made for us to have dominion over and for us to use to glorify you. And Father, may we understand the act of redemption because you make all things new. And that, Lord, you want to do that even now with us in our minds and hearts today. Father, bless us as we contemplate that and as we sing this awesome song about beholding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.